Leaders from countries around the world assembled in New York recently for the annual opening of the United Nations General Assembly. Films from around the world arrive in Ashland this week for Varsity World Film Week. Maybe the New York gathering has greater impact upon the world, but which audience do you suppose will enjoy itself more? Varsity World Film Week is a joint production of Ashland's Varsity Theater and the Ashland Independent Film Festival. It offers 12 films over the course of the weekend. Richard Herskowitz is the program director at the Ashland Independent Film Festival and therefore the program director for Varsity World Film Week. He's in the studio with me. Richard, welcome.
Thanks, Jeff.
Good to have you here. On the phone, we have the directors of two of the films. Beth Harrington is the director of The Winding Stream, The Carters, The Cashes, and The Course of Country Music. Welcome, Beth.
Hey, nice to be here.
And we also have the co-director of A Woman Like Me, and we'll explain why co-director in just a moment. Elizabeth Giamatti is on the line as well. Welcome, Elizabeth.
Thank you.
So let's start with you. Richard, you are new to the Ashland Independent Film Festival, therefore new to Varsity World Film Week. And what did you do before you came here?
Well, just before, I had been the director of Cinema Pacific, a film festival in Eugene, where I also curate programs for the Jordan Schnitzer Museum of Art. And simultaneously, and I'm still doing this, in fact, I'm in the thick of it right now, I'm the artistic director of the Houston Cinema Arts Festival. And actually, both Beth and Elizabeth are coming to that event as well. They're going to be showing their films.
Ah, so there are some economies of scale that come from being the director at three different places.
Yeah, especially when the films are great. I show them everywhere.
All right. So how much time did you get a chance to get your feet under you before you got started on Varsity World Film Week?
Maybe a day. Really? I mean, this was immediately the assignment. It was coming up. I guess it was just, I don't know, 2 or 3 months ago when this all came together that and I was appointed. So, but, you know, I'm always monitoring films that are in distribution, films that are getting a lot of attention at film festivals. And it was a great assignment. Just picked 12 great international films. I loved it.
Talk about the criteria then for the film selected for World Film Week.
Well, you know, I wanted a broad range of nations. I mean, it's you know, foreign film distribution isn't in a great place in the U.S. right now. And same thing with independent film. And I think film festivals in general are really meant to address that and change that. And here, I could, you know, there are a lot. There was no way of being completely representative, but I wanted films from Asia, films from Africa, films from Europe, etc. But again, every single film had to be great. I really did not want to just program by quota. So, luckily, actually, it then became really difficult to narrow down because there were so many strong ones.
All right, so let's talk to the directors of the two films we have with us today. Elizabeth Giamatti is the co-director of A Woman Like Me, and this is probably the toughest project to get to the finish line. Elizabeth, tell us about the genesis of this film and where it the twists and turns it took.
That's a long story. So, you know, the genesis of this film came from my co-director, who initially was the sole director. And she was a very dear friend of mine. Her name was Alex Sichel, and she was a director by trade. She had made a wonderful movie about 15 years ago called All Over Me, and hadn't made another feature since then. She came to me about 6 months after she was diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, and remarkably, she said, "I have a movie playing in my head. And it's about a woman a lot like me with a diagnosis a lot like mine, only she's dealing with it much better than I am."
Hmm.
And she asked me if I wanted to work on it with her. And I said, sure. You know, I'm a producer by trade, and we were old friends, but we had never worked together before. So we started talking about the possibility of making this fictional movie, and about, you know, 3 minutes later, Alex said, you know, I'm not sure I can make a movie right now. I have this metastatic disease. It's, you know, ultimately will be a terminal illness. She didn't know how long she had, and she was also really busy having cancer, among other things, and being a parent and trying to figure out how to, you know, be in this really difficult moment in her life. And she also wondered about making a documentary instead of making a fictional version, because she thought that that might speak more directly to these friends that she was making in cancer world. you know, a documentary or a blog or something unmitigated, for lack of a better word, where she was speaking directly to people. So, you know, I said to her, look, let's just keep talking about it, and maybe it's a documentary and maybe it's fiction, and we'll just keep talking and we'll see what form suits it. And, you know, long story short, the form that we both felt suited it was this hybrid, which is to say we ended up making a documentary about making a fictional movie about a character a lot like you in a circumstance a lot like yours. And, you know, we cast the amazing Lily Taylor to play the character based on Alex in the fictional part of the movie, and made this movie, which, you know, as I say, we called it a hybrid, but I think at this point it's really more of a doc than a hybrid, but it has these fictional elements to it. And Alex died a year and change ago. She died in June of 2014 before we had finished the movie. We had shot everything, including most critically the fiction. And I say most critically because, if we hadn't had both elements of the movie, I don't think either of us would have been interested in seeing it through. I mean, at that point, both halves of it were crucial. And, you know, as these things go, we had to have a really difficult conversation at some point about whether she wanted, you know, me to keep working on the movie without her. And, you know, the answer for her was a sort of unquestionably yes. And again, long story short, so I did.
We're talking to Elizabeth Giamatti, the co-director with Alex Sichel of A Woman Like Me. Beth Harrington is the director of The Winding Stream about the Carter and Cash families. Richard Herskowitz is the program director of the Ashland Independent Film Festival, all assembling in Ashland this week, although in one case by Skype, I guess, for Varsity World Film Week at the Varsity Theater in Ashland, October 2nd through 8th. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange with comments or questions, 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area, and by email jx@jeffnet.org. Beth Harrington, tell us a little bit about The Winding Stream and how you got started on this project.
Well, Jeff, I started it in 2003. I started filming in 2003. So it's also a kind of a long haul. I guess all films these days are long haul films. What am I saying? But I had made a music documentary prior to that called Welcome to the Club, The Women of Rockabilly, and it was a film about the pioneering women of rock and roll. And in the course of working on that, I kept meeting women who grew up in the South and grew up on Carter family music, and all these women had also toured with Johnny Cash and some of the early rockabilly people, and they had also toured with Mother Maybelle Carter and the Carter sisters. And I realized that there was an opportunity to tell a story that I think, you know, most people, I think at this point, know who Johnny Cash is, but and know a lot about his story, but I don't think they fully grasp who June Carter Cash is in relation to the beginnings of country music. And June's family were one of the earliest country music stars, the original Carter family. So I thought it'd be fun to connect the dots. So that's what the film was about, sort of trying to connect the dots between those folks in 1927 and people like Johnny Cash and other musicians who were greatly influenced by them, and also the fact that people are still playing this music and still love it and still carry on the tradition both within the family and without. So that was kind of where I was going with the film, and that's what people will be seeing in Ashland.
So Johnny Cash essentially married into musical royalty by marrying June Carter?
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, it's funny, when he was a kid, we have a great interview with him, and he was grew up in Arkansas as a cotton farmer's son, and at night he would listen to the radio, which was blasting over the Mexican border, and the Carters were a staple of these Mexican radio shows. And at night, a little, like, 9-year-old boy would be listening to the radio and hearing not only the original Carters but their kids on the radio. So Johnny Cash heard his future wife on the radio when they were both, like, very little kids. And I just think there's something great and cosmic about all that.
That really is a cool story. I wonder about, Beth, about the challenges of latching onto material, since we're talking about some relatively old recordings, and I guess some of their performances would actually predate sound film.
Yeah, well, the one of the challenges was exactly that there's no footage of the original Carters. It's so early in the game that, you know, 1927, we're just starting to put, you know, people on film, and, you know, soundies are just coming in. And so there really wasn't much footage. There isn't any footage of the Carters in those years. Later on, there's footage of Maybelle and Sarah Carter, but it's much, much later. We're talking in, you know, the 60s and 70s.
I remember Johnny Cash on this TV show saying, here's Mother Maybelle Carter coming
up. That's right. you do a good Johnny Cash. yeah, so one of the challenges for us was how are we going to depict a whole bunch of their history when we don't have images except for photos. Which can get old really fast, you know, just photos in a film. So we, I found a great animator, and he's animated a huge part of their story in really fun ways. And so the film features this really interesting photo animation that people seem to be enjoying.
All right, and that's called The Winding Stream, The Carters, The Cashes, and The Course of Country Music. Beth Harrington's the director. We also have with us Elizabeth Giamatti, the co-director with Alex Sechel of A Woman Like Me, and Richard Herskowitz, the Ashland Independent Film Festival program director. This is not the true AIFF. This is the Varsity World Film Week at the Varsity Theater in Ashland, October 2nd through 8th. You can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Here we are being Americans talking about the American movie. So what are the world films you have here? I notice you have stuff from Senegal, Brazil, France, India, a whole bunch of stuff. So why don't you go in whatever order you deem the best?
Well, actually, we could start with opening night, and that's tomorrow night, Friday, and we're going to have Jeremy Teicher here, and his film is actually made in Senegal. He was a Dartmouth student and had made several trips there. We'll have to find out more from him about how he originally got to Senegal, but he lived there for quite a while and made this film cast with villagers, non-actors. It's a narrative feature film. But
Tall as the Baobab Tree?
Tall as the Baobab Tree is what it's called. And it's about an 11-year-old girl, Debo, whose father decides to, you know, sell her into an arranged marriage. And really, he derived the story from the village, from the villagers. It's semi-improvised so that really it was a collaboration with them. It's just a beautiful, beautiful film. It's been shown at many, many festivals, and actually it launched Jeremy Teicher's career. He's now a Sundance Fellow, and he's making a new feature film called Tracktown in Eugene right now. Anyway, he's coming down, and he'll be here live along with Beth the following day to present his film, Tall as the Baobab Tree, on Friday night, and then again on Saturday afternoon. Both Beth and Jeremy are going to introduce two programs.
Now, I've heard that this one from Brazil, The Boy and the World, is wordless, is that?
Yes. It's an animated feature. I think it may be the first animated feature that's been in World Film Week, and it's, kids, I would say, 8 and older, will love it, but adults are going to love it as well. It's absolutely beautiful in its design and its visuals. The soundtrack is filled with music, samba and Brazilian hip-hop and just all kinds of beautiful sounds. But yes, it tells a story without language. And I promise you, you'll be rapt.
So of the features and documentaries that you're presenting, and there are 12 in all, how much reading is required? How many of these are subtitled?
Oh, I would say that I'm guessing about 9 of them at least, maybe even 10 are subtitled, and you'll hear a variety of languages, Spanish. I mean, again, may not be a problem if you know Spanish. Come see Garros from Mexico. Australia, the Australian film Charlie's Country is in English, and that stars the great Aboriginal actor David Gulpilil, who was in Walkabout. You've probably seen him in almost every Australian film with Aboriginals. He's just one of the great world actors, and this film He you just can't take your eyes off him.
I want to come back and talk to our directors just a little bit, because we do have some clips, audio clips to play from the trailer. So let us hear first from the trailer for A Woman Like Me. We actually hear the voice of Alex Sichel.
So my name is Alex Sichel, and I'm here because I'm making a movie.
Okay, guys, first shot of the movie. Thank you, everyone, for being here. We haven't even done that part. Welcome.
And I'm actually making a movie about living with stage 4 breast cancer. I was diagnosed with terminal breast cancer 2 years ago, just before my daughter started kindergarten. Do you want to watch it over here? I wanted to find a better story for her.
Action.
We tried fiction. We tried documentaries. We looked for so many ways to tell this story. It's a story that's happening on a lot of different levels.
This is the moment where we're making two movies, guys.
Yeah, exactly.
Excuse me. Can I ask you something?
Yes.
The truth of the matter is that any one of us could die today. And are you ready to go?
Reality, fiction, life, death, we needed everything.
We're making a movie. We're not curing cancer. Have you ever heard that expression?
Exactly. Maybe I can shoot my husband, too. He doesn't really want to be on camera much either, but I get sick of looking at myself.
Hey, listen, we're about to roll. Can you just get out of the way?
It's my house, dude.
So we finally ended up making documentary and fiction all at the same time. So the movie's about me, but it's also about a me that's not me.
Alex Sichel talking about A Woman Like Me, and Elizabeth Giamatti, the co-director. Aside from the difficulty of losing a friend in the process, I mean, do you feel like you got the film that you and that Alex envisioned in the first place?
Absolutely, I do. And you know, in a funny way, the vision of what we were trying to do was so seared into my head. And hers, too, I think, when she died, it was funny. I mean, she didn't even see an assembly before she died, but I never questioned. I mean, this is arguably a bad thing, but I had very, very, very few moments of here because I just knew. I don't necessarily mean that in some kind of mystical way, although maybe that also. But I just, we had spent so long talking about this movie, and we watched every frame of the footage together and spent a long time doing that and taking notes and talking about it and talking about what we liked, what we didn't like, how they would hang on the structure of the story. I do. And it's funny. I mean, even things like voiceover, which we always intended to record later, after, as we were putting the movie together, there were lots of pieces where we thought, oh, well, we'll just record that and that'll explain that, or, we'll write that bit of that layer later. And, we didn't have the opportunity to do that. And yet we made voiceover for this movie out of pieces and interviews and lots of recorded stuff we had of Alex that ended up working. I feel really well. I mean, I'm really happy with how the voiceover laid out in the movie. Yes, the short answer.
All right, the movie we're looking for. Richard Herskowitz, you talked about the difficulties with foreign distribution. I mean, are film festivals in part sort of like a shopping exercise? Do people come to film festivals because they want to look for films that they can distribute or otherwise promote?
Oh, certain kinds of film festivals, ones that are markets, are that way. I just came from the Toronto Film Festival. I was there for a week. I saw 20 features in about 5 days. And there is a whole section of that festival just for industry people, producers, distributors, festival programmers, so that we see films that are in the program away from the public. We're all shopping for our films. But again, those are markets. Ashland Independent Film Festival, World Film Week, these are regional festivals that are, again, kind of compensating for the narrow deficiencies, the fact that at almost every multiplex theater, the same movies are playing the big budget blockbuster releases, and such a narrow, narrow range of what's out there and the range of expressions and voices that need to be heard. And that's what film festivals like ours are trying to offer.
Varsity Wilmville Week, October 2nd through 8th at the Varsity Theater in Ashland. Beth Harrington, I want to come to you last because we have a musical piece we can play to take us out. But you got some pretty good names, it sounds like, for The Winding Stream.
Yeah, we were very fortunate. We had people, well, certainly people like Roseanne Cash are in it, and Johnny Cash, and also have a lot of musicians who are either interviewed and or singing Carter Family songs. So George Jones is in it, John Prine, Chris Christopherson, the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, Sheryl Crow, the Carolina Chocolate Drops. It's a whole great group of people.
All right, Beth Harrington, you will be, I guess, in Ashland for Varsity World Film Week. Elizabeth Giamatti, I guess you'll do your talk back by Skype, I hear.
Yes.
Okay, good to have you both on the Jefferson Exchange today. We'll go out with a little bit of a clip from The Winding Stream, The Carters, The Cashes, and The Course of Country Music. I want to thank Richard Herskowitz for joining us as well. Varsity World Film Week, October 2nd through 8th in Ashland.
Of a land on the far away strand is a beautiful home of the soul. Built by Jesus on high, there we never shall die, is a land where we'll never grow old. Never grow old,
where we'll never grow old.